Rick Baker's creatures for The Exorcist, King Kong, and Star Wars are the height of motion picture magic and mystery. Now Baker has created the first new horror creature, the incredible Melting Man. Hero astronaut Stephen West returns from outer space. His body is melting. He must get human cells. He is the incredible Melting Man. Come prepared. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Welcome to the Alternative Cinema Podcast for February 2011. The podcast for independent, low-budget filmmakers, those who make it, and those who watch it. My name is Michael Rosso, and I'm sitting here today in the studio with Joe Kolbeck.
Hello, Mike.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about what I would call New York Grindhouse. Some of the releases from the After Hours Cinema line. Many of the new releases that came out from After Hours Cinema, these are feature films from the 1970s that would fit into the adult category. So they were adult films from the 1970s.
Right. Classic porn.
That's correct.
That's correct, yes.
Before we get started, though, I wanted to give a shout out to a few folks that have written to Alternative Cinema in the last 30 days.
Mail's in.
The first is a letter from Dave. Dave says,
"Hey Mike, I want you to know that I never received the Faces of Schlock DVD. Maybe it got lost in the mail."
And Dave, that was a shipping error. Yep. Last month I mentioned to our audience that Alternative Cinema is one of the few companies that still prints an old-timey print catalog.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, there really are not too many companies out there. And the companies that were doing it, companies like Movies Unlimited, I'm sure they still put out their big book of movies. I know Something Weird still does a print catalog. I'm not sure how many other companies still do it. But AC has become somewhat of a melting pot of releases. Not only do we carry the in-house Shockorama, Seduction Cinema, After Hours, Secret Key, Retro Seduction Cinema, but we also carry Synapse Films, Blue Underground,
Video X Picks,
a bunch of different stuff. It's sort of like a melting pot.
Oh, yes.
Of indie DVD releases, a collector's catalog. So if you do not have or do not know about the Alternative Cinema print catalog, drop me an email at alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get one out to you. Now, we got one from Rich. Rich just says AC catalog, and there's his name and address. Got a letter from Aaron. Aaron says, "Thanks." And puts his address there. And this is really my fault. I mean, I'm always expecting, you know, people to write a thesis report in their emails to us. But if you could, I mean, if it's okay, you could just send us an email that says, you know, catalog and your address. That's fine. You will get the catalog. But if you feel like it, if you're up for it, if you're in the mood, when you're sending us an email looking for the print catalog, which is absolutely free, sent to you, maybe you tell us a few sentences about yourself, you know, who you are, and, you know, what kind of movies do you like? Like, what are your favorite movies? Are you a fan of this stuff? Have you never heard of this stuff before? You know, are you waiting for that brand new Blue Underground release? You know,
I like catalog.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So, got a nice email from a gentleman named Raimundo. Raimundo, by the way, sent us a link, which I hope will be on our show notes page. If you look at alternativecinemapodcast.com, this episode, February 1st, 2011, you'll see a link to our blog.
A John link?
Yeah, that's me, John Link.
And you will go to our show notes, our blog show notes, and you will see that our friend Raimundo sent us a link to the Nightlife show from 1985. This was basically a show for local cable that was shot in 85, and it was shot in like a photo store, like a guy standing there, and behind him are like these Kodak racks and all film, and he talks about the new Olympus VHS camcorder. Like, he gives a product review.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's what, 26 years ago. And it's kind of cool seeing all that old hardware.
Yeah.
It really is. So thanks for that link. And Raimundo also says he listened to podcasts 21 and 22, and he remembers the UHF channels.
Okay, that was the one with Gary Cohen.
Yeah, sure. Gary Cohen was our guest, and before that it was 42nd Street Pete talking about the Grindhouse days. He also loved renting VHS tapes. During the early 80s, I would occasionally see police raiding apartment buildings and homes. They would arrest folks for making bootleg videos. So I guess I don't have Raimundo's address, but I'm going to guess, maybe I'm wrong, that he is in the UK, because the UK was very big on video nasties. A video nasty was basically a banned video. And if you got caught with a video nasty, a video that was banned by the government, you would go to prison.
Really?
Yes. Well, I don't know how long. They would come to your house. They would raid your house, come in with bobbies, you know, bobby hats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they would raid your house, confiscate all your stuff, and arrest you.
That's incredible.
Incredible. Movies like I Spit on Your Grave, movies like Last House on the Left.
No, you would be arrested. You weren't just fined. You would be arrested?
You would be arrested. I don't know if you were released with a fine. I don't know what the story was on that, but...
Were any adult films considered video nasties?
I don't know. That's a good question. Anyone out there listening in the UK, can you send us a report about video nasties, your experiences with video nasties, what they are? What your experience was growing up, having films banned by the government, alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com, and let us know. So I really appreciate the letter, the time you took to do this, Raimundo. I really do. So thanks for listening.
That was very nice.
Yeah, very nice. So if you have any video nasty reports or you would like our print catalog, you could send me an email at alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com. Or if you are online, you can go to alternativecinema.com, and on the left-hand side is a new release button, and you can see all of our new releases on DVD. And today's show, we're going to be talking about the massive output from the After Hours label. This is the home video label that specifically focuses on 1970s, never before released on DVD. Some had never been released ever on home video.
That's right, yeah.
And this is a line of films of very obscure adult content.
The best label.
The best label.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I think it's, for one thing, the films are shot on film.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing is, I think it's an important part of of American cinematic history that at one time was very, very relevant, and I'm not so sure if I feel adult films are really relevant anymore.
Ooh. These were features that were shot on film, and the producers, directors of them, actually put them together from the perspective that they were making a feature film.
Yes.
They're not gonzo porn.
No, and also this was taking place during the sexual revolution, so the stigma associated with these films is much, much different.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, when you sit there and you look at it, it's like it's almost like the people, they sincerely look like they're having fun.
Right.
And whereas today, I don't know.
We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. Before we discuss that, I want to talk about some new releases that we have. Today, February 1st, is the release day of a horror film directed by Jacob Ennis called Red River. And it's significant for many reasons, but one of them is the fact that it's an original, brand new film made specifically for our label, Bloody Earth Films. This is Jacob Ennis's sophomore effort.
Oh.
Yes, his second film. And Red River, this is, it's set in a small town in the backwoods of Kentucky. It tells a tale of Roland Thatcher, a family man.
It was supposed to be a fun getaway.
Damn, this place is nice.
They were dead wrong. Red River. Meet Roland Thatcher. A family man. An entrepreneur.
Well, good morning, Roland. Mr. Thatcher. I see you got some more fertilizer for me.
A man of God. A family name with a mysterious reputation.
I hear that they have got art. And they're made out of human bones and all kinds of weird shit.
Red River. A local reporter searches for the truth.
Why do you all continue to come and stay here? after all that's happened.
The river runs red with the dead. River. This place is gorgeous.
What I tell you boys about coming to these woods?
Exactly. Bloodshed, dismemberment, mass murder, and it stars Megan Marie Wilson, Ronica Jones, Dustin Rowe, and Levi Brandenburg.
It's a good name.
Yes, that's a very good name. And directed by Jacob Annis, which is his second film. You know, we were very, very thrilled. His first film, Stash, was successful.
Got into Hollywood Video, right?
Yes, it did.
That's pretty cool.
Hollywood Video, when it existed.
It's oh, right, yeah.
Out of business. Mm. And that's a real, real shame. Very sad that, you know, video stores, as we know it, are you know, going the way of the dinosaur, as they say. Sucks.
Well,
I mean, I personally am a video store fan, you know, from the old-timey days when Gary P. Cohen was here talking about his video store. And the letter from Raimondo talked about, you know, I didn't read his whole letter. He talked about how in the old days there'd be big standees.
Oh, yeah, yeah, standees.
Cardboard standees. Yeah. So those days are coming to an end. And I'll be happy to report in future episodes if Red River gets into, I don't know, I don't know. I'll let you know if it gets into any existing, I was going to say record stores. Any record stores.
Record stores.
So look for Red River. I really think you folks out there will like it. A lot of gore, a lot of bloodshed, a lot of boobs. That's good. Speaking of boobs, on this past January 25th, the Secret Key Motion Pictures released something called American Nudie Classics.
Oh.
No, that's not a TV station. That was the release, Joe, that had, you know, all the loops by decades.
Oh, I'm well aware of it.
Yes. Loops, by the way, are basically 5 to 10 minute film, and it's called loop because in the old days, they'd play in like a adult bookstore, and you put a quarter in, and it would play, and after like 5, 10 minutes, it would loop back to the beginning.
Right, yeah. The heads and tails were just taped together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was sort of like these films, they were either 16 or 8 millimeter, and they played on a system known as a cart system. And just think of, well, if you can think of, an 8-track tape. The heads met the tails, and it just went round and round. So American Nudie Classics is a collection of never-before-on-video release of these very, I would call it classy.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Classy nudie loops linked by decade. And is the earliest 1920s or 1930s, Joe?
The 20s.
Oh, the 20s.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's say you're having a bachelor party, you get together with your friends playing cards, or maybe your in-laws are coming into town. This is the perfect DVD to put on for such an event.
Right. See, now you have me thinking if it's 20s or 30s. I think it's 20s.
I think it's late 20s.
Yeah, there's like a Harold Lloyd-looking guy in one loop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like a naked flapper chick. It's good. Yeah. Well, let's say late 20s.
Yeah.
And those you said those were made to play specifically in like a gentleman's club or something, right?
Yes, many times, you know. Well, first of all, nude films were illegal in the 40s and 50s, and even in parts of the 60s. I mean, things loosened up after a while, but they would play these films on 16 millimeter in like, you know, gentlemen clubs or I don't know. Do you think they play them in like what do you call that? VFW halls.
Oh, VFW, yeah.
VFW halls. I mean, you know, back rooms, no doubt. You know, so.
Well, a lot of Civil War veterans, you know.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the After Hours release. There's a lot of interesting artifacts from the 1970s.
You sound like you're about to cry.
Hi, my name is Butcher.
I'm Brain Chomper.
And I'm Gambling Man.
We're here to tell you about our show, The Killer Reviews Podcast. Each week we discuss movies new and old, talk about our lives, and every once in a while we'll have interviews like Fred Vogel from Toe Tag Pictures, Daniel Harris of the Halloween franchise, and Charles Gibson, the special effects supervisor for Terminator Salvation.
We also have special episodes like our full review of the Alien Quadrilogy, A Nightmare on Elm Street retrospective, and Clash of the Titans.
And we're also very, very sexy.
Especially you, Gambling.
Yeah.
Our podcast is available at killerreviews.com.
And if you sign up for our forums between now and 2012, you enter a chance to win a romp in the sheets with Big Butch.
Hi, I'm Noel Anderson, but you can call me Scotch. If you're like me, you're one of the tens of people that enjoy the AC podcast. When I'm not obsessing over the alternative cinema podcast, I'm drawing sleazy cartoons for Hustler magazine. That's right, I'm the man responsible for the comic book adaptation of Fred Olen Ray's Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
Dude, that's awesome!
If you like sleazy comics, and I know I do, then you need to go to goofroof.com. That's GOOFROOF.com. You can't watch sleazy movies all the time. Sometimes you need to read sleazy comics. Goofroof.com.
Thank you for your support.
Hey, shut up, bitch. Take off your clothes. We're gonna have a fucking party.
Fuck you. I'm married.
Fucker. You're married. John, get over here. And move.
Okay, we're back. And we're gonna be talking about the After Hours cinema line. The line was launched in 2006, and the line consists of adult cinema from the 1970s. And as I was during our break, I was looking at some of these DVDs, and After Hours Cinema has almost 100 DVD releases since 2006. It's 2011. That's incredible. Joe is actually the editor of these, so when I mentioned to him that, oh my god, we almost have 100 releases, he's like,
oh, absolutely, I know all about that.
For a novice or someone who doesn't know what the heck we're talking about, Joe, how would you describe the label?
Well, a lot of the collections consist of movies that would play at something called storefront theaters. They were just converted storefronts that were made into theaters. And basically, you know, they were on 42nd Street, these storefront theaters, and you would go inside, and they would just be playing these movies on a continuous loop, and they were mostly shot on 16mm and ran about, what would you say, like anywhere between 40 minutes to an hour?
Most of them were 60-minute features.
Yeah.
16.
So like, 16. Usually not anything past that.
16mm.
16mm. Yeah, I said, but they usually would run somewhere between 40 to 60 minutes.
Right. For these folks out there listening, when you go to a theater, even today, they're playing a 35mm motion picture, and there's a smaller gauge that was originally designed for amateurs, but then was used professionally, 16mm, and there was a huge output of adult films in the 70s shot on 16mm. It was just cheaper to shoot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they would also play at theaters that were traditional theaters or grindhouses. Usually when I know you feel the same way when someone says, "Well, you know, I really like grindhouse movies," or "Oh, I'm making a grindhouse movie."
You can't make a grindhouse movie.
I usually don't know what people are talking about. They're talking about a very specific creative aesthetic, like something like Machete. Oh, there's a grindhouse movie. I don't get that, because it's like there is no particular creative aesthetic to a grindhouse film. It's like I, a Woman played at grindhouses. Anything could have played at a grindhouse film.
Well, Machete was an homage to Grindhouse because they took the film when they treated it.
Well, they beat it up like it had been played at a Grindhouse film.
Well, the whole term Grindhouse is because, well, the After Hours line, for example, it's true Grindhouse because the prints are ground. The prints have been grinded, which means they've probably played thousands of times. Some theaters only close for an hour or a few hours, and that's the term grindhouse because the features got ground. And the whole Quentin Tarantino shtick was the fact that after a while, the films would break, they'd get mended by the projectionists. Some features, if it's a 35mm feature, the film could be on 5 reels. They'd maybe lose a reel and not give a shit.
Yeah.
And sort of the charm of that is that you'd be in the theater, and you'd be watching a movie, and a reel would be missing, or and many times sitting in the theater, the film would just break.
Right.
Right in front of you, just breaks, and they mend it together and they put it back together. Hence the term grindhouse. Unfortunately, the term is abused today. Well, Quentin Tarantino did it fairly, it's a fairly good homage. It's ridiculous, the concept of his film Grindhouse. What's the name of his feature? Death Proof?
Death Proof, yeah.
The fact that there's a dropped reel, and quite frankly, you can't really explain it. It's something that just happened in the 70s and early 80s. So try to replicate that is almost absurd. So anyhow, we have some films in front of us here on DVD, true Grindhouse movies. So when we say it's a Grindhouse triple feature, we're not screwing around. So what do we have, Joe?
All right, well, our friend 42nd Street Pete has the Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show coming out. And in it, 42nd Street Pete recreates basically the traditional Grindhouse experience by showing four nonstop contiguous Grindhouse films, you know, just like the good old days.
Right, right. And anything specific about these films? Like, what's Hawaii Sex-O?
Well, Hawaii Sex-O is basically a parody of Hawaii Five-O from 1971. There's really no one identifiable that I recognize in it, but it was fairly ambitious. Like, it had some very nice production values, nice locations, beautiful exterior locations, Hawaii, and then, like, you know, some helicopter the footage, you know, like shots, like there's a fight at the end of two people fighting on a mountain, and we actually have aerial shots taken from a helicopter.
Right.
So it's, you know, it was, as far as an adult film goes, it was fairly ambitious.
And this is actually called
42nd Street Pete's Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show Volume 2.
Oh, there's a Volume 1.
Yes. What is the Grindhouse Hotties Rene Bond Sleazy 70s Triple Feature?
Well, aside from having a very long title, did you know that Renee Bond was the it girl of 1970s West Coast hardcore?
I did not know that.
Oh, well, you learn something new every day.
I heard that Harry Novak himself paid for her breast implants.
Yes, so we know who to thank.
I preferred her before.
Oh, really? I thought she needed the tit boost. Yes, for lack of a better word combo. Anyway, this is a celebratory collection of three never-before-seen Rene Bond classics, including Sounds of Sex, co-starring fellow Grindhouse hottie Suzanne Fields.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. City Woman, and Show and Tell Hotel, which I'm sure no one has ever even heard of.
City Woman, I've seen that listed elsewhere. I think some of these are exclusive. Like what's the hotel one called?
Show and Tell Hotel.
Yeah, that's, I mean, these.
No one's
seen these before, which is kind of cool. So if you're a Renee Bond fan, this is your thing. What is this? Holy smokes. Sexual Insanity 70s Grindhouse Collection. Please do explain.
Oh, sure. Well, that's what we're going to be experiencing by the time we get through this list. It's Sexual Insanity Grindhouse Collection. Four 1970s adult films, you know, that will transform the Grindhouse into a total madhouse. Isn't that crazy? But it features Sexual Insanity, you know, the eponymous entry in the collection.
Yes.
And that stars Rick Lutz.
Oh, Rick Lutz.
Now, did you know that Rick Lutz was, for a while, the boyfriend of Grindhouse hottie Rene Bond?
And I know him as Le Chic.
Yes, Le Chic.
Le Chic was the very first Rick Lutz film to appear in this studio's vault, because it is a Nick Phillips film, and at that time, he's Rick Lutz, Le Chic, he has the whole, the jumpsuit on, the Elvis jumpsuit, and Rene Bond is in it.
Wow.
Yep.
Good find.
Yes.
It also has Girls in the Band.
Okay, tell me about that.
Okay, girl. Well, the title is misleading. There's plenty of girls, but there's no band. This movie stars Big John Holmes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and he plays the assistant of the one and only Keith Erickson, one of the absolute unsung star.
Totally ignored. Retro
porn. Totally ignored.
No one knows who he is, and when in fact he should be. He wore wigs, outfits. I mean, he was an actor.
He was good. Yeah, good actor. Yeah, very good actor. And he could also, you know, take care of hardcore fucking. it was required. But Girls in the Band is basically, it's about New Year's. It's New Year's Eve, and Keith Erickson is a reporter. Who's, you know, he's broadcast, you know, and they're broadcasting the New Year's festivities. And so he goes to a party with John Holmes. At this party, apparently, all the balls drop.
Okay.
How about that? But it features a lot of other, it's interesting because it features a lot of porn stars that they seem out of place. Like, some are from the East Coast, and some are from, you know, Chicago.
Who's from the East Coast?
Her name escapes me at the moment, but she's in a number of Sean Costello features.
Okay.
And she's also in Flight Service.
Okay.
I can't think of her name right now, but you'll know her when you see her. She has frizzy hair.
And what else is on this collection?
Oh, it also features Spring Finlay from The Starlets.
Oh.
The redhead.
Redhead.
Yes, very attractive. Then there's it features a movie called The Family. They're sort of like they're free loving hippies, but then they turn lethal when they have to get revenge on one of their members is like a prostitute and she's been wronged. So they have to, you know, it all, culminates in a rape and a murder. So they end up becoming like a Manson kind of family. And then there's Skin Mag Confidential, which unfortunately is not very good, but it's a fourth film. Basically, some dope gets a job in a mailroom of a porn mag house, and he gets to read the sleazy letters of satisfied customers. His manager, who's a chick, comes in and blows his dick. Because it was the early 70s, and that's what everyone was
doing.
So
this is a kind of an interesting collection.
Oh, yes.
Sexual insanity. Now, kind of following the same kind of insane, not quite insane, but more psychedelia, the Sex Psychedelia Collection.
That's right. And
this is special.
This is special. This gets the AFC editor thumbs up of approval.
Why is that?
Because it's a great, great collection. The movies on the collection are fantastic. They're actually entertaining. And the mix is really eclectic. You get Ramage, Mobility Cathexis. I would like to explain that title, Mike, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Okay, well, Ramage is means a lineage that begins with a single parentage.
Okay.
Like Adam and Eve, we all come from Adam and Eve. That idea, that would be a Ramage. And then mobility cathexis is a Freudian term. Cathexis is mental or emotional energy that is projected onto an object or an individual. And he deemed that you could mobilize this, like the same way, like the type of energy you would invest in your husband, you could then, when he was gone, mobilize that onto another man or another woman.
Do you believe that maybe some film student intellectuals made this film?
Well, the movie is non-linear, and what it seems like to me is it seems like there were 3 16-millimeter shorts, basically experimental shorts that they cut together to create one feature, thus the name Mobility Cathexis, mobilizing the sexual
right.
energy to 3 separate segments.
This is not a regular 1970s adult feature film. This is like, it's way out there.
It's way out, yeah.
And it's shot on the beach. I mean, it's like, there's some real thought put into this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's way out. There's a lot of thought put in, and it's the soundtrack's good. It's entertaining. Oh, also, it features Maggie Mattson, who is in The Nurses, which I believe we also have that on another collection. She was this gorgeous, gorgeous British chick who, she also figures into a film called Dionysus.
Oh, okay.
Which we also have coming out. But
okay.
I think that she, you know, she recognition sort of eluded her, but she was very good. Then we have The Last Bath. This was a Seattle produced effort.
Right.
Last Bath is extremely well produced, well shot, well edited. The editing is great, and the sound design is wonderful. It has the optical crazy. They go crazy with the opticals. And yes, it's a hardcore film. Features hardcore, but I would not call it an adult film. I would call it an experimental. It's very much an art house film, and the whole thing is basically an allegory. And if you can figure out what the allegory is, well, then thumbs up. I mean, I have my own idea, but I'm not going to.
You like
it?
Great film.
You liked it too, right? You agree?
I've never seen anything like it before. I mean, it's unheard of.
It's unheard of. And I'll say this for it's probably one of my new favorite movies. If you can believe that.
Unheard of to see an adult film like this. It really is
unheard of. This is a perfect example of people who had real propensity for film, wanted to make films, they decided to make an adult
right.
film. But this is a great example of a movie that is made by real filmmakers, real actors, real performers, and you know, it just happens to have hardcore sex in it. Consider it an added bonus.
Yes. And shout out and is in order to our friend Joe from Chicago, who turned me onto this film and said,
you guys need to put this film out. This film needs to be seen.
So, this film has never been seen before.
Well, then that's incredible.
I mean, it was seen in a limited capacity in a theater in the 1970s.
Okay, and that is predominantly why Sex Psychedelia Grindhouse Collection gets the AFC editor thumbs up of approval.
I feel like we're Siskel and Ebert here tonight.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
What else you got on this collection?
We also have Waltz of the Bat.
That's pretty good.
This is what I mean. This collection's great. Waltz of the Bat. Stars a individual, Eric Deflatormouse, yes, who stars as, appropriately, the Bat. Now, the Bat is this weird type of baron. He's a sexual deviant, but he was a baron who now resides in Chicago.
No, that's San Francisco.
San Francisco, pardon me, now resides in San Francisco, solicits sex from prostitutes, but once he has sex with these prostitutes, he controls them because they become his slaves.
And he's like Dracula, right? He doesn't die.
He's like a sorcerer. But he,
sorcerer.
Well, he has lived for hundreds and hundreds of years, but at the stroke of midnight on the day that our movie ironically takes place, if his ex-lover and arch-nemesis, the Queen Bee, which is a woman who looks like she should be like the host of a kid's show, in a
right.
bee outfit, does not find him, fuck his balls out, he will become immortal and live forever.
Oh.
So that is the plot and that is the struggle of the story, as the Queen Bee runs around fucking random guys to get to the Baron, Eric the Flatermouse, and bang him before.
Wow, so that's something special, Joe.
It is something special, but not as special as It Came From Love, Mike.
Oh, that is special.
Yes, that is special, starring the one and only Mr. Zeno.
Right.
Now, who is Mr. Zeno? Well, I know who the character Mr. Zeno is. Mr. Zeno is someone obviously on some kind of Quaaludes.
Okay.
Wearing a papier-mâché mask over his head, where he's looking through the neck.
Right.
And he carries around a toy store a ray gun, and the planet Love, which he comes from, needs women. So he goes around and he abducts women and takes them back to his tinfoil spaceship.
This sounds like the must-have collection of the year, Joe.
This is the must-have collection of the year.
We should have saved it for last.
Well, no, we have other good stuff in here.
Virgin Nymph Grindhouse triple feature. What's that all about?
Nymphomania. Nymphomania is a rare sexual phenomenon. When it occurs, the difficulty is not correcting it, but rather and discovering the hidden causes.
It's the Virgin Nymph Collection from After Hours Cinema. Three trashy tales of naughty nubile nymphos.
Well, I'm getting turned on.
The young nymphs, Kitty and Kathy. These Manhattan slam mams just can't get enough of the good hard stuff. Innocent Girl. A young runaway is picked up by a smooth-talking pimp who breaks her in and then whores her out to some of New York's filthiest sons. And then the candy store. Jumbo-sized Jug Queen Candy Sample stars as a lusty, busty proprietor of a swinging bordello.
The borderline between normality and perversion is very thin and frequently crossed.
Do I love it?
The Virgin Nymph Collection from After Hours Cinema. Available on DVD now.
Well, virgin nymph. How can someone be a virgin and a nymph?
I don't know. Tell me.
Oh, ooh. Well, apparently, it seems to strictly concern the nomenclature of pornography. Virgin and nymph were used as prevalently in the 70s as the words milf and squirter are used today. So, you know, these are three sleazy classics. That I would say perfectly exemplify and deliver upon this particular notion. We have the Young Nymphs, starring Kim Pope of the Collegiates.
Whoa, was it Kim Pope, the woman with translucent skin?
Yes, our friend Carter Stevens.
Translucent skin.
Also in Mount of Venus, and it's also directed by our good friend Chuck Lamont, who is Classic Adult's favorite director of photography. He was also the director of In Flight Service, and he also shot the majority of and directed segments for The Sexploiters.
Yes.
Which I thought was great as a time capsule.
Yes.
And it reads a lot like one of these novels that I'm going to be getting to shortly.
We're going to have a whole book section. We're going to talk about Mike White's book, and we're going to talk about some of those sleazy books you have over there.
Great. Next, we also have Innocent Girl, which is basically about a very naive girl from Kansas who comes to the big city, you know, to shack up with her boyfriend who kind of looks like a little bit more attractive Dee Dee Ramone. And then she's, you know, abducted by some big guy and promptly taken advantage of and forced into prostitution. So, that one features Bob Kerman. I mean, Arbola.
Yeah, Arbola.
Yes.
This is all in the Virgin Nymph Collection. Is that the film, by the way, that was shot in New York and is actually an exterior of Port Authority?
Yeah, yes, there's an exterior of Port Authority and there's also an exterior of the Walcott.
Okay, Port Authority is the infamous bus station in New York City on the corner of 42nd Street and 8th Avenue. And there was the shot. Was it a girl with a suitcase?
Yes.
Yes, women would come from all over the country to come to New York
in act and film in films like this.
Yes, and it's so true. And you see, the exterior of Port Authority, and it's really awesome. One of the great things about these films from the 1970s is forget about the fact that they're adult in content. Just look at the aesthetic, the time capsule
elements.
Well,
that's what I said. Yeah, these movies are, and it cannot be denied, it cannot be taken away from there. They're time capsules, and that's why I prefaced all this by saying that they're an important part of cinematic history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we joke around a lot, here and there on the show, but, we're kind of very serious about this collection, not this particular DVD, talking about the whole after-hour cinema line, the amount of time, effort put into the fact that we truly believe these are, no, don't laugh, American movie classics. And as time goes on, these become more important.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
So, what's Naughty Nurses of the 1970s grindhouse double feature?
Well, hold on. You missed out on Candy Store.
Oh, that's on the Virgin Nymph.
That's on Virgin Nymph, and I think it's important to mention it because it stars super busted beauty Candy Samples.
Oh, and who is she?
Well, she's one of the great big tit queens of classic porndom, along with her good bosom buddy, Uschi Dygart.
Yes.
Yes, and in this movie, The Candy Store, she teaches the girls at a bordello. She's like the madam at a bordello, and she teaches them how to suck and fuck. Okay. All right, well now, you mentioned, Joe, what is Naughty Nurses of the 1970s grindhouse double feature?
Clean? Who cares about clean? What are you going to do about this?
It's After Hours Cinema's Naughty Nurse grindhouse double feature, featuring Sue Prentice, registered nurse, and the nurses. A double dose of sexy medical misadventures.
Well, let's see if I can get a closer look.
Sue Prentice, registered nurse. Four hapless city workers are subjected to humiliating tests and placed into a sexual quarantine with some of the raunchiest, sleaziest, and most boffo-banging nurses ever. Features New York porn legends Bobby Astor and Annie Sprinkles.
You gotta be kidding.
The nurses. Check into a hospital where the cure for aching balls are sloppy blowjobs and hard fucking.
I think I'm going to need a longer tool.
These nurses are the cure for what ails ya.
Oh, you are a big fella, aren't you?
After Hours Cinema's Naughty Nurse Grindhouse double feature. And it's available on DVD now.
Not only are they entertaining as all hell, these movies are also filthy, filthy, filthy fuck films.
Naughty Nurses especially. What's on there?
No. Well, Naughty Nurses stars Maggie Mattson of Ramage Mobility Cathexis.
Oh.
Yes, this is the film that she is the star.
So if you, let me just, a little side note here. If you start watching these after-hour cinema collections, you'll start seeing noticeable threads of,
oh my God, I saw that girl in...
You're going to see the same actors.
Yes.
If you watch enough of these.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Please continue.
It stars Maggie Mattson, and it's basically a comedy. And I guess this was a... When I originally saw it, and I did not know the date, I thought that the whole thing of doctor, patient, the whole... I didn't know that that was such a common staple. I thought that Deep Throat... I was ignorant to that. I thought that Deep Throat was the one that really sort of propelled that idea... of doctor patient, but I didn't know that it was something that's just, it's timeless. It is a timeless porn concept.
Yes.
Oh, and here, now we also have Sue Prentice, registered nurse. This is a New York adult feature.
Yes.
Now this stars Annie, this is Star Ladin, okay? This stars Annie Sprinkle as a ditzy nurse whose task is to retrieve a sperm sample from Bobby Astor and Company. And what is supposed to be a simple task ends up turning into an all-day fuck affair, Mike. And it's filthy. It's a filthy good time. It's probably one of the most filthy porno films I've seen, and that even, that even considering adult films today.
And some of these features, like Naughty Nurses, when it's New York, do you look for certain styles? Like, do you suspect, this may be directed by Sean
absolutely.
Costello?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Sean Costello, director of Forced Entry, might have directed this.
I'm willing to bet my money on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The style is so similar. And if not Sean Costello, then someone who...
was part of his crew.
Yeah, was part of his, you know, his yeah, exactly, his crew.
His posse.
His posse. But yeah, it's a star-studded affair. We got the clown prince of porn, Bobby Astor. We've got Rick Livermore and his idiosyncratic voice. And we've got Alan Marlowe of Roller Babies.
And who's the first guy? Bobby Astor.
Oh, yeah.
And is he kind of manic in the whole film?
Bobby Astor is always manic. Always manic and...
sweating.
Sweating profusely. definitely some cocaine action going on in this one. But he's another one of the unsung, you know, greats of classic porn. He's great, Bobby Astor.
New York turned out some amazing films.
Yeah, they did.
Absolutely. New York.
Absolutely. And this one's got a very, you know, a goofy plot. Apparently New York had a problem involving alligators in the sewer, so they were sent down to the sewer, Bobby Astor, Rick Livermore, and Alan Marlowe to fight these alligators. And when they come up, it turns out that they may have been contaminated due to toxic waste in the sewer or something, so they have to be quarantined.
Okay.
And they have to find out if they're contaminated by getting a sperm sample. And as I said, it turns into an all-day fuck affair, Mike.
And the film The Nurses on this collection, you think that's West Coast.
It's a San Francisco.
So, you know, this is a great collection because a great double feature because it shows you an example of difference between West Coast
and
East Coast.
You will notice the diversity, yeah. New York seems to be more ludic. It seems to be
more frenetic.
More playful.
Yep.
And more free-spirited, whereas San Francisco seems to be a little bit more perfunctory, almost a little bit more mechanical. I don't know. I mean, I'm not taking away from San Francisco. I mean, I think their features were good. And then West Coast, a lot of them, well, you know.
West Coast features I don't think are as good.
They're not. But I mean, like I said, you do have some that are really good. I mean, like I said, Sounds of Sex, which is on the Rene Bond collection, is great.
Right.
That's a good one. And like I said, it does have its few stars who are really good. Suzanne Fields, Keith Erickson.
Speaking of New York... tell me about another volume, New York Fantasy Club triple feature. What is that?
From After Hours Cinema, the purveyors of classic porn, come three classic porno films worthy of their cult status, containing all the knob-gobbling, rug-munching, and sleazy hardcore sex that you demand and that only the greats can give you.
You expect me to fuck my own father?
First up, it's a tribute to the late, great porn super stud, Jamie Gillis, in Road Service.
You're the rapist. You're the man who's raped 32 women.
When Jamie's car breaks down at the house of a fucked up, hard fucking family, a game of Clue and Screw ensues to find out who's the notorious neighborhood rapist.
Well, it says right here he's raped 32 women. That's more flavors than Baskin Robbins has.
Good morning, Mr. McMichaels.
We've worked really hard on your new fantasies. We've screened all your questions, and we're ready to begin.
Then it's Fantasy Club of America. Six of society's losers join a special club where all of their filthiest fantasies and dirtiest desires come true.
Be your match, stud.
And then it's Easy Money. When times are hard, a swinging couple decides to earn some extra dough by whoring themselves out to scumbags.
Who the hell are you guys? What the fuck are you doing here? Get the hell out of your car, blow your goddamn head off.
Road Service, Easy Money, and Fantasy Club of America. And they're all part of the New York Fantasy Club Grindhouse triple feature.
Okay, that's it, folks. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
And it's available now.
New York Fantasy Club.
All right, well, this one is even more Superstar Aladdin, and it's also a sextravaganza.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, yeah, sextravaganza, Mike. It stars Jamie Gillis, Mark Stevens, Mr. 10 and a half, who was usurped once John Holmes came along. It also stars Bobby Astor, the clown prince of porn, porno groupie turned superstar Helen Madigan, Andrea True, and more. How about that? Round out this cast of familiars.
Andrea True, of course, is the superstar turned disco queen. If you look up, if you use the Google.
The Google.
to look up Andrea True. There was her group, the Andrea True Connection, had a huge, huge monster disco hit with a song called More, More, More.
That's right, yep.
And I don't really know, but I think she kind of just did not do any more adult features.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, she became a mega superstar.
Yep, and no one knew about her adult career.
I didn't.
No.
I was a kid in the 1970s. I knew who Andrea True was. My dad at the dinner table wasn't like,
yeah, you know, she's in hardcore fuck films.
No one knew that Andrea True was in adult, you know, fuck films.
But here she is in our first movie.
What's it called?
Road Service from 1973. It stars Jamie Gillis. And Jamie Gillis's car breaks down outside of the house of a filthy, incestuous family, Mike, played by Mark Stevens as the dirty dad, Andrea True as the filthy mother, and Helen Madigan as their insatiable daughter. Apparently, there's a rapist that's been going around, and it's sort of like a game of Clue, because different people end up coming to the house, and you have to find out which one of them could be the rapist.
Right.
And it was good, entertaining.
Excellent. What else is on this collection?
Well, we also have, once again, the eponymous title Fantasy Club from 1975. And in this one, this is Richard Mailer, who was known to people in the porn industry as Mr. Mustard.
Oh.
Yes. And no, there's nothing dirty about that. He was known as Mr. Mustard because he had a variety of different kinds of mustards from all over the world.
He liked mustard.
He liked mustard, and he died, I believe, just a few years ago. But he was good. He was one of the good New York hardcore, early hardcore directors. But in Fantasy Club, Mike, Mark Stevens plays sort of like a degenerate Willy Wonka. Whose Fantasy Club is guaranteed to grant the dreams of its members.
Really?
Yes. And with members like Bobby Esther, who else is in this? Jeffrey Eagle, and a number, you know, you can imagine that those dreams are pretty filthy.
I would guess, yes.
And then we have Easy Money, which is actually a West Coast feature. It's from 1971, and it's an interracial couple turns to selling their stuff for big bucks.
How many features are on this collection, Jeff?
Three. It is a three-film collection.
Oh, very nice. The next collection sounds very similar to the previous collection. The next collection we're going to talk about is New York Grindhouse Superstars triple feature.
That's right, but this is the one.
Why is that?
Well, it features a cavalcade of trying to think of a nice alliteration here. A cavalcade of hardcore heroes, Mike.
I'm holding a box, actually, in front of me.
Well, no, I know who's in it.
Oh, who's in it?
First of all, the New York Grindhouse Superstars triple feature is exactly that. It's a triple feature extolling New York porn's biggest stars, Mike.
Right. Oh, really?
Yes, stars like Mark Stevens.
Yes.
Jamie Gillis.
Yes.
Annie Sprinkle.
Uh-huh.
Sean Costello.
Yes.
CJ Lang, my favorite.
Yes.
Alan Marlowe.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Jordan.
Okay.
Leo Lovemore.
Yep.
Paula Morton.
Keep going.
Mary Stewart.
Okay.
Jeffrey Eagle.
All right.
Ashley Moore.
Okay.
And yes, many more.
Okay.
That's a lot of superstars.
That a lot of superstars. And there, you know, a lot of these features do not have, you know, you'll see a title card, but you won't see, like, produced, directed by. Are these another series of films we suspect might be directed by Sean Costello?
These are most definitely Sean Costello films. Tycoon's Daughter from 1973.
Okay.
Okay. Which is about three bumbling abductors.
Yes.
Who get more than they bargained for, Mike.
Yes.
When they decide to seek refuge from authorities on a humble-looking farm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sounds easy, enough. But the farm is actually owned by a family of deviants.
Are they kidnapping involved?
Yes. By a family of deviants who have some fun with the criminals and their investment, the tycoon's daughter.
Right.
Now, the kidnappers are Mr. Ten and a Half, Mark Stevens.
Okay.
Mary Stewart. And Ashley Moore.
Okay, moving right along. Kathy's graduation present. What's that about?
Well, Kathy, who I recognize but can't place name with face, is graduating at college, high school, I don't know. And Leo Lovemore plays a caterer who accidentally adds an experimental aphrodisiac to the party's food or hors d'oeuvres.
Okay.
And
what is she graduating from?
I just said I have no clue.
I guess college, right?
College, high school, I don't know. High school, 18, yeah, I don't know. All I know is that it ends with one hell of an orgy.
Okay. What about School for Sexual Arts?
It's a 1975 film. It stars C.J. Lang, who... Mike, did you know that C.J. Lang is the queen of cocksucking?
No, I did not know that.
Well, she is the queen of the deep throat, and so C.J. Lang and company want to show their teacher, Alan Marlowe, who's sort of a pedant, the artistry of sucking and fucking.
What is special about this collection, Joe?
Well, aside from all those fucking superstars, the movies are quite good. One of the reasons why I feel that these are Sean Costello films is because they're very, very, very self-aware. They're very, very self-aware of what they are, the production, and you know, everyone is clearly when you make it up as you go along, improvising, and everyone is clearly improvising. And these are trademarks of Sean Costello's storefront movies.
Right.
So that's a very, very good collection.
Excellent. What is the, here's an interesting collection, 42nd Street Pete's
Extreme Sleaze Showcase Part 3, the Peepland Collection.
All right, well, Peepland was a adult store on 42nd Street, and apparently it was the last, what?
I'm laughing because, you know, like Extreme Sleaze Showcase, I mean, these little adult bookstores in New York, they were like cesspools.
Yeah, and that's a great way to lead into these books.
Well, we're going to take a break before we do the books.
Okay. All right. But anyway, Peepland, Mike, was the last remnant of old 42nd Street, and it wasn't shut down until 2003.
That's incredible.
But this is a collection of 8mm loops that 42nd Street Pete himself has handpicked with his one hand. of what ran in the booths of Peepland.
Incredible.
And there are some really shocking things to be seen here. I would mention some examples, but I don't feel like being, you know, issued a censure.
Right. It was a time where anything went, anything goes.
Anything went, absolutely.
Really, incredible. This is an impressive new collection of releases from After Hours Cinema. Of the group, what rises to the top of the cesspool is this Sex Psychedelia collection as must-see.
Absolutely.
For any of the New York, if you're specifically into New York, you got the New York Fantasy Club collection, New York Grindhouse Superstars collection. If you want to see East Coast versus West Coast and see, like, weigh the difference, like, hey, which is better, East Coast or West Coast? You got the Naughty Nurses, crazy, crazy shit, Sexual Insanity collection. You have Rene Bond collection, Pete's Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show. These all can be seen at the alternativecinema.com. You can see the new releases on DVD. Any closing remarks about the After Hours line before we take a quick break?
Mike, well, I think with After Hours, we're doing really, really good work.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you you seem to enjoy working on these in the, you know, in the editing department of preparing these films for release? What do you enjoy about working on these films?
Aside from the obvious, I think because they're so free-spirited.
What do you like about these features?
Exactly that. I think it's showing you a time when you could have had fun making a movie. I mean, some of these things, from a technical perspective, you're a tech guy, I mean, are haphazard, are technical, some of them are technical nightmares, but this was a time when anyone could have just made a movie, and you had good chances of getting it distributed.
In a theater.
And, you know, I'm not saying that people should, you know, go out and make something that's a technical fuck-up. I'm just saying, you know, it's like, it's a time that no longer exist, and I think it's fascinating. I mean, basically, I think it's interesting that you could produce a film like this at one time and have it play in a theater.
Well, thank you, Joe. We're going to be taking a quick break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some books.
We're now showing two Bondage and Discipline classics, Baroness Nika plus Milk Lady in Bondage. We also have live sex shows. Our live sex shows go on at 2, 5, 8, and 11. On Fridays and Saturdays, we have an extra show at 12:30 at night. Our movies run continuously, so come on in.
Hey, you, with the bag, come here. On 42nd Street, Pete, what do you got in that cheap porn? This multi-hour crap? Brother, you need to go to alternativecinema.com for all your grindhouse needs. You can get Shockorama titles for your horror fix. You can get Seduction Cinema if you like Misty Monday, Rube of the Rocket, Darien Cain, and others. You can go to the Secret T Motion Pictures for your TNA. Then you can go to After Hours Cinema for the films of Joe Sarno, Sean Costello, Nick Phillips, Phil Prince, and the 42nd Street Pete line of 8mm Madness.
plus Blue Underground, Synapse, Halo, and other fine grindhouse titles, only at AlternativeCinema.com. Act now and get free shipping in the U.S. and reduce shipping to Canada. That's at AlternativeCinema.com. Tell them 42P sent you.
We're back, and we're going to be talking about some books. It's called Mike White Presents
Impossibly Funky.
What's that about, Joe? Tell me about that.
All right. Well, first of all, it's a Cashiers du Cinemart collection, and Cashiers du Cinemart was a publication.
Well, it is a publication.
Yes, that lasted for about 14 years.
Well, it's still in publication.
14 years and 15 issues.
Oh, Mike White. I was under the impression that this magazine was still being published. I could be wrong.
Well, it says it ran 50. It says it ran 15 issues.
Okay.
But, you know, I took a look at...
It says the most compelling pieces have been compiled into one volume.
That's right. Basically, the book is it's like a compendium of very eclectic essays and reminiscences regarding a variety of different subjects pertaining to, like, movies and, you know, cinema. And you have stuff from David Goodis to the origin of the film Alien to samurai movies, like, stuff like that. And so it's like...
It's a very nice-looking book.
It's a very nice-looking book, and some of the writing is very good, and I found it was a good read. But, you have stuff here about Tarantino, stuff about James Ellroy, Madness in the 20th Century, which is about Charles Wilford, who was a writer. It's, you know, it's like you have a lot of different subjects here, and I thought it was... Oh, yes, right. It features an introduction by H.G. Lewis.
Yes.
And a foreword by Chris Gore. I'm not too familiar with...
Chris Gore is the Film Threat guy.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know.
Oh, do you remember as a child? There was a magazine called Film Threat?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I knew, but I was too young to really pay attention to who, you know, was the brain behind
Film
Threat.
Film Threat was the bomb.
Oh, well.
It was in the early 1990s. Man, Film Threat. If you can get covered in Film Threat, that was a bomb, man. That was the bomb. Film Threat. So basically, this book is jam-packed. With jam packed.
Jam packed Tarantino, Jean-Claude Van Damme. He goes through.
What are some of the chapters? Can you give me a list of some of the chapter stops?
Part one is all about, like, for example, part one's all about Quentin Tarantino. You have about, it's like five different essays about Tarantino, basically exploring his career. Is he a plagiarizer?
Yes.
That's one of the things that it assesses, like, you know, is he responsible for plagiarism? Then, you know, it goes into, like I said, James Ellroy.
Who's James Ellroy? What's chapter three?
You mean we're smoking dog shit, man?
Chapter three.
If you would like this book, you can go to www.impossiblefunky.com, I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. FUNKY.com, impossiblyfunky.com.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, he goes through the original script for Catwoman, the movie Catwoman.
Oh, okay.
He goes through the script for Incredible Hulk.
Oh.
You know, and so you're getting an insight as to what the movies were supposed to be before they were made. Gremlins.
Oh, so you're saying the difference between the actual scripts and the actual final movie.
That's correct.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was very interesting.
Interesting. Well, thank you, Joe. If you'd like to check out this book, go to impossiblefunky.com.
Impossibly funky.
Yes. No, impossible funky. Unless we're wrong here. Look at that. Look at that URL.
See that? Yeah, you're right. It's impossiblefunky.com.
The book is impossibly funky. What? And the URL is impossible funky.
Oh, God.
Well, listen. If there's a problem, you go to the Google and you type in impossibly funky, Mike White presents, and you will find this book.
Well, like in Mrs. Frankenstein, I had a scene where I was playing the character Carl the Jester, and I had to arrest myself.
Now, you have some other books there, Joe. Tell me about these. Look like novels or paperbacks, as they would say.
That's right, Mike.
And someone that's known as a paperback writer. That's sort of a lower-end writer, people that would write under pseudonyms, people that were paid to churn out sex stories, but never put their name to it, just to make a quick buck.
That's correct, Mike. And what I have here is I have one to show the delineation between time. I have one that was written in the 60s.
Oh.
And I have one that was written in the 1980s.
No kidding.
Okay. But yeah, these are novels. These are not magazines. Okay. There are no pictures.
Right.
Okay. Except for the illustration on the cover. But these are novels about bondage, sucking and fucking, you know, really.
You're saying these are sex novels.
These are sex, hard sex novels.
And where would you find these?
At an adult bookstore. That adult bookstore. You'd walk in and they'd be right there on the racks and you'd pick them up. And, you know, as you know, I went to Show World on 42nd Street in New York to see if these, that's right, I just went in to see if these novels were still available. And they are.
With you're
kidding. Dead serious, with new covers.
Now, you're saying that the same adult books from the maybe 60s, 70s, and 80s are still on 42nd Street, but they're still paperback books, but they have a new cover.
They have a new cover. They're wrapped in, help me out here.
Shrink wrap.
Shrink wrap. They're shrink wrapped, so I couldn't open it to see if it was a reprint of just a book from the 80s.
Oh, so you don't really know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to bet that they're probably reprints.
What does that add on the back?
Well, if you look at the one from the 60s, yes. Once again, this will help you get an idea of how filthy things, you know, became. It just has a synopsis of the book right here.
Right.
Now, on the back of the book from the 1980s, which is called Tie Me Too Tight, I also have another one from the 1980s called Twisted Tits. Now, on the back, there is no synopsis for the book, but there is, however, an ad for $24.95, a clit teaser, Mike.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's right, and it says it's available from Star Distributors. Oh, look at that, right? The Canal Street Station. Ooh.
Wow.
That's near Chinatown.
Yes, it is.
But the clit teaser, apparently, Mike, features several rows of strategically placed ridges.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, the book from the 1960s has a very tame cartoon cover.
Yes, it has a very, very innocuous cover.
Almost looks like G-rated these days. Yeah. It almost looks like, you remember in Psycho, Jamie Lee Curtis's mom, who's in it, she has that scene, very racy scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where she, like, that looks like that.
That's what it looks like, absolutely. And you have some guy that looks like a young Hugh Hefner, like a robe.
Whereas you have the 1980s model, you have, you know, a girl in bondage with breasts. It's cartoon, of course.
Yeah, with, cartoon erect nipples and her, you know.
Looks like almost like a scene from a Wave movie, something you know Tina Krause would be in.
That's absolutely right, or a Avon film. But anyway, I have selected a little bit of a a piece here.
Oh, okay.
Just to give you an idea of the difficulty, the differences in the style. Okay, so here's the one from the 1960s, written by J.X. Williams. This book is called Passion Proxy. Their bodies were trembling. She cuddled closer. Her knees jerked. She cried out and kissed his throat. He pulled her hard, held her tight as he climbed high into the mountains of heat and fire. He crashed on the peak and shuddered in a wild ecstasy of release. At the same time, she was calling his name and collapsing limply in his arms. They lay across the bed to recover. Now, here, that's very tame.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very tame. Okay. Well, now, here's the one from the 1980s.
Okay.
Okay. Fuck her, Quentin finally said. She couldn't believe her ears. She was going to get another shot into her ass. Only this time from Jorge and that big cock of his. God, she moaned. But it didn't matter. Jorge was already up on his knees, and her ass was so wet she didn't care. It didn't matter to her. She just wanted it. She just wanted a cock in her ass. Fuck me, she groaned as she pulled on her bonds. Fuck me, come. Oh, fuck me, good. Fuck me hard and good is written a little bit discursively. He began to do as he was told. He was loving the way it felt, loved it, and knew he was going to take as much from her as he could get. Okay, so, you know, as you could, he was surprised how easily his cock slid into
her. It's night and day.
It's night and day.
Quite frankly, I think that one you just read is quite a bore.
It's quite a bore. The 60s one is better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to be more creative.
It's very, absolutely.
It's very easy to write, you know, slide my meat missile into your, snatch curtain.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this is just my opinion, of course. I really think that, call it whatever you want, adult cinema, porn, adult magazines, books have really gone to shit.
Yeah,
it's over, man. It's over. Everything is just so. Back in the 60s and 70s, you had to package your product a little classier. You weren't allowed to, you know, put a book on the newsstand that is just so filthy. I mean, that's my major gripe with adult cinema of today. The DVD covers are so filthy. It leaves nothing to the imagination.
No. No. Well, I mean, the 70s adult films are really, really, some of them are very, very filthy, but even then.
The posters were not that.
The posters were not, but even then, you were forced to have a narrative.
Yes.
You know, so it's like you were forced to come up with a story, whereas today it's just scene after scene after scene.
Well, I'll tell you, this is what I think we learned today. Today we learned that the 1970s, a time that is long gone, and I don't know when we'll next see an era like that. It was an era of freedom. I mean, it started, you know, people said that things started to change in this country when JFK was shot. I mean, that was in the early 1960s. It took a good 8 years before things were just turned upside down in the Vietnam War.
Right.
I mean, by 1970, things were New York City in the mid-1970s. Unbelievable. So all of these films we talked about today are from an era that is long gone. I mean, New York City's 42nd Street is unrecognizable from the perspective of the 1970s. So.
Oh, and I also want to state that I did buy something at the Show World. I bought these Dick Nose and glasses.
Tell me, how long has Show World been open?
Show World has been there since forever. Yes. Since it's been there since all of this stuff was going up in New York.
Right.
It was one of the first.
So you think Show World has been there since the late 60s?
Yes, I think Show World has been there since the late 60s. It used to be three floors. Now it's only one. Now upstairs there's like some shitty comedy club. Whereas before you could go up there and see, you know, have a boxed lunch from like a live girl.
And you were recently on 42nd Street, kind of like, you know, slumming it late night.
Oh, yeah.
How many types of how many adult bookstores still exist?
There's only a few that are specifically advertised as adult shops. Other ones are laid out as just generally DVD stores.
Right.
You know? And then you go in there, and it's just the walls are just, you know, the wallpaper is just filth.
So you basically have been doing this for research purposes.
Oh, yes, research.
That's good, Joe.
Yeah.
I could, I'd like to congratulate Joe here on the AC podcast. You are, you're now a film historian. Seriously, I mean that sincerely. You know a great deal about the whole 1970s adult cinema.
Oh, I suppose so.
Yeah.
But I didn't mention what I did buy. And I didn't buy any porn.
Oh, what did you buy?
I bought this great, I did mention.
Oh, mention it again.
Okay, well, I bought this great Dickie Nose and glasses.
Well, you know what that deserves? Joe is going to put on a Dickie Nose and glasses. It seems appropriate that I would snap your picture with a 1973 Polaroid Big Shot camera.
Big Shot!
The very camera. Well, I bought this used, so it actually could be the very camera that Andy Warhol used, and I was told that he actually had like 50 of these.
Oh, yeah.
So it's conceivable this actually could be one of his. Maybe not. Who knows? Of course, Andy Warhol had his own filthy factory.
Oh, yes, he did.
Right in New York City. So would you just put those Dick Nose on?
Mike, I love my Dick Nose and glasses. Probably as much as you love that Big Shot.
Big Shot.
I don't know how I lived without my Dick Nose and glasses.
Now I'm going to take a shot. 1, 2, 3. With the Polaroid Big Shot camera. 1973, old-timey camera. It has film in it, instant film. When you pull it out, you actually crack and peel to reveal the photo. Incredible.
Big Shot.
And to coincide with our, you know, to bring film photography into the whole thing that we've been talking about, you know.
Yes.
A lot of people were shooting, you know, a lot of people were shooting a lot of, you know, filthy Polaroids.
Yes.
Like our friend Carter Stevens shot a lot of dirty Polaroid.
He did.
Yeah.
So audition pictures.
Audition pictures, you know, private photos.
Well, Polaroid is instant photography, instant pictures. Most people know the Polaroid one step that produces an instant photo. So you're saying you think a lot of people use this because basically they wanted to shoot pictures of, let's say, their girlfriends or wives, but didn't want to drop the film off to a laboratory.
Yeah, absolutely.
This way you could take the picture. You could, you know, see it instantly. And, you know, not too many years ago, Polaroid made a film called Polaroid Fade to Black, which I always thought was great because I felt that, well, they made it because it was kind of, you know, quirky, fades to black, but I thought maybe people took sex pictures with it.
Yeah.
And then the next day, if you go to like a swinging party or some kind of, you know, wild party, you take some nude shots, the next day it would just disappear.
It would just disappear. It was for fun. Yeah. That's the only practical reason I can see for it.
Chris Polaroy doesn't talk about any of this.
No, of course, yeah.
You're going to peel the picture now of Joe's...
Dick nose and glasses.
Okay, here we go. And there it is.
That's a good one. That's the best one yet.
And you can see Joe wearing dick nose and glasses on the Alternative Cinema Podcast show notes page, which is the link right from our website, thealternativecinemapodcast.com. I want to thank everyone for tuning in this episode. Our review, our overview of the After Hours Cinema line, our book review of Impossibly Funky that Mike White presented, some filthy paperbacks, and of course the release of Jacob Ennis's new film, Red River, which comes out today. So go to alternativecinema.com. And don't forget, if you want an old-timey, honest-to-goodness print catalog, if you want to kind of sit on the bowl and peruse an old-timey catalog and look up some of the stuff that we have at alternativecinema.com, just send me an email, alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com, and I will be more than happy to send you out a catalog.
And, Mike.
Yes?
You can also purchase your own dick nose and glasses at Showworld.
Where is Showworld?
Well, it's 42nd and 8th.
Okay.
42nd right, and yeah. 8th. And you just walk right in there, and it's on the, you know, the same rack with, like, you know, the rabbits.
Oh, okay, the rabbits, yes, yes. Very nice. Feedback always, alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll see everyone very, very soon. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, anytime, Mike.